truth.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and corner scenes and footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme to our clients in able. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable on Tuesday, the 10th day of October. We have with us Jeff Nyquist, his website, jrnyquist.blog, books for sale on Amazon. Dave Hodges, two websites, thecommonsenseshow.com and thecommonsenseshow.tv. And Kyle, you're asking about these weapons. Get in more detail what your question is. You still there, Kyle? Hello, Kyle.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We do now.
Okay. So, Jeff, the question is, we have some, Russia, China, seemingly at least they purport to have some extremely sophisticated torpedoes / missiles that we can't supposedly defend against. And we keep sending these naval groups out. Further and further away. And if we end up in Iran, that would even spread us out even more. My question, I guess, to you is, do you see the potential that this is a setup to be able to take out a lot of our Navy spread out across the world, in one fell swoop before there's anything going to happen, anything could or would happen here? That's the first question to Jeff. And then the second question is, Jeff, do you see the potential of anything actually changing in this next election with all of the illegals that they're trying to give the ability to vote, pushing this kind of stuff with the COVID thing coming up? Do you see that in reality, do you think anything's going to change, or do you think we're going to end up with the same regime in power that we've got now? So kind of a two-pronged question to Jeff.
Yeah, I think the intention of China and Russia is to destroy the U.S. Navy and other allied navies. A Chinese source, Li Mengyan, who works with Mr. Wang of Luda Media, they had more than a year ago the code words that China had for launching nuclear strikes against the U.S. Navy. And the thing about a supercavitating torpedo or hypersonic missiles is they're first strike weapons for delivering nuclear attack, because, you know, supposedly you can't shoot them down. And the idea is, if you launch a nuke, you want it to reach the target, and it's certain destruction. But if they can shoot it down, they can't. Of course, this is all very technical. And your second question about the election, will things change? Well, we elected Trump in 2016, but Trump did not purge the Justice Department, especially, and other parts of the government, of Marxists and people that are for this new religion, this socialist ideology. And because he didn't do that, he had a lot of good policies, but he couldn't stay in power, and he couldn't keep from being prosecuted, because it's their control of the Justice Department and the FBI that allows them to harass and use the actual legal system against Republicans or anyone who's opposed to Marxism. And so unless Trump has learned his lesson, if he is able to win because he's got such a big majority, it's too big for them to cheat, then if he doesn't purge at that time, then, you know, there's nothing is going to change until we have something terrible happen.
Yeah, I think Jeff has a really good point there, but there is a limit to how much they can cheat. That's one of the things that I have found in my investigation. But I am of the opinion, and I'd like to get some feedback on this, And there's a reason why RFK Jr. has no Secret Service protection. And I think if Trump can't be taken out legally, and I think he has presidential immunity, and I think that'll rule the day at the end. But if he can't be taken out legally, I fear assassination of one or both men. In fact, let me tell you, my broadcast partner on one of the shows I do, the Doug and Dave Intel Report, Doug Thornton, former DHS supervisor, he told me they had meetings where they talked about assassinations, and they said no one will buy the lone gunman nut theory from the grassy knoll. That'd probably be a mass casualty event designed to take out the person, but disguise it within the event. That's one of the things that I know that DHS has discussed. So I'd like to get some feedback on those thoughts.
Well, a mass casualty event would be a great way to take out a former president and have it more easily covered up. We've had a number of those recently. The Boston bombing was one of the most notable ones. Jeff, you got any follow-up before we move on?
Well, the shooting down of Korean airliner 007, Larry McDonald was on the plane.
Right.
And it's my theory that the Soviet Union shot down the plane because he was on it.
That's a popular theory. Kyle, thank you for your call. Let's go to our next caller. It looks like Ryan in Ohio. Good morning, Ryan.
Yes, good morning, I think it is, still. I'm going to ask about the voting. I'm hoping one of you guys would have an idea about this. Can you hear me?
Barely. Take your speakerphone off, sir.
Okay, I'm going to put you on speaker. Can you hear me better now?
No, the speaker is worse. We don't need a speaker.
Oh, let me see. Hello?
That's better.
All right. Great. All right. There's 270 electors need to make president. Now, if Kennedy runs and nobody gets 270 electors, say Kennedy gets, say, 40 electors because he's very popular in a couple of states and he gets whatever. So you say Trump's got 240 electors, what's his name's got 250, and then Kennedy gets 50 electors. Can Kennedy take his 50 electors and give them to one of the two parties?
No.
Or does it got to go to the Congress and the Senate?
It has to go to Congress and the Senate. The House elects the president, and then the Senate elects the vice president.
So in no way can Kennedy say, I want my electors to go to, say, Biden, or I want to go Trump. He can't do that at all. It's zero chance.
Right.
All right. So, see, I knew somebody was full of it. I hope you're right about this, because I'm going with what you just said and call these people back. I can't find it on the internet anywhere, no matter where I look, about
it's in the
what
US
would happen, you know, except what you just said.
Yeah, you can read it. It's in the U.S. Constitution.
It's in the U.S. Constitution. All right. You know what, that guys? I'm going to let you go unless you got something else more to say to me about how great I am. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Okay, Ryan. Thank you for the call. Yes, you're great.
What do you guys think about this is floating around now, and I've read this a lot. Paul Preston talked about it on the show. A Trump Kennedy ticket.
First of all, Robert Kennedy Jr. was part of the Trump administration for 4 or 6 weeks, something like that. So these guys know each other. I don't know if the animosity they've displayed recently can overcome that. But I simply don't know. Jeff, you got any follow up on that?
Well, Kennedy's been associated with far-left groups, and the environmental group that I forget the name of it. They shut down a test range of the Navy near Puerto Rico, and that hurt the Navy's ability to prepare for war. So I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is quite frankly a dupe of some very far left causes, and like his belief in global warming. So I would be very troubled to have an elderly president with a younger vice president who held the views that Kennedy holds.
There are some substantial differences. Yeah. I totally agree. If Kennedy runs as an independent, which certainly it looks like he's going to do, who does he pull the most votes from, Biden or Trump?
Well, Kennedy thinks that he's going to pull more votes from Trump. And that could be the problem is the left and the right. Now, there's similarities between, you know, as I pointed out, the one caller that the far left and the far right both seem to agree that the enemy is capitalism and the capitalists. So so the problem is that it's possible he could draw from voters from Trump, but I don't. It's hard to say how many, and how, and whether or not he takes more away from Biden, because Kennedy also represents, his name represents civil rights. So how many black voters, how many minority voters are going to vote for Kennedy? And that's more likely to affect the Democratic Party, I think, in their vote. Because I think a lot of minority voters are very unhappy with Biden and the Democratic Party right now. And that's been not really underscored.
Well, Hispanics have moved away from the Democrats in large numbers, and blacks are just beginning to do the same thing. And we see a lot of mainstream media, well, we did with when Tucker was still on, and he had on people like Larry Elder. We saw a lot of black leaders gravitating more towards the right. Biden's policies are killing America, and it's alienating everybody. I think if we had a straight-up election right now today, Trump versus Biden, I think Trump would get 75% of the vote.
Yeah, the polls show Biden is, you know, there's been a couple of polls showing that there's a, like a 9 or 10-point lead that Trump has now. And Trump isn't even campaigning in the sense that, you know, you're campaigning in the last weeks of something. And the economy is going to get worse next year. So Biden is almost looks like a lost cause.
Well, I think, you know, the 8 or 10 points, it's mainstream media polling. And remember, Hillary is up by 12 points before the 2016 election. And maybe the FBI revelations about her computer antics bent that some. But I don't trust the polls. But I do look at the flare of the nation, the favor of the nation right now. Biden's not even going to campaign. He doesn't have a headquarters. I don't know how that can generate a vote total, unless, of course, you're depending on ballot stuffing and ghost voting and chicanery with the machines.
Yeah, I don't know how they expect to win. I mean, I think there's some people in the Democratic Party that are worried right now about where this is going. You have a collapse of support, and the polling has been inaccurate over the last 10 years or plus, and it has to do with the cell phones. As an old political scientist, that a lot of the polling, the accurate polling data we knew in the past was based on landlines. The fact that most people had landlines and they had really good statistics on what the voting patterns of people who were in the phone book, you know, basically groups of people. And so they could do phone polling that was accurate. But now, I don't know what, you know, it seems like the Zogby poll has been accurate. The LA Times poll has been accurate. But all the others way, way off. And it seems to be there's a strong left bias in the polls.
Okay, gentlemen, we're now joined by Steve Bannoun. His website is israelinewslive.org. Steve, I reached out to you yesterday for whatever information you may have from your privileged sources in Israel about what the hell is going on over there. Good morning, Steve. Morning, Steve. live radio, it's a hoot. Good morning, Steve Bannoun. Speak up, Steve. Okay, I'm not hearing anything. You're not on mute there, so he's got a technical issue he's dealing with. He'll be back with us in a moment. Dave, I know you just scoot out of here in 15 minutes or less. Do you have any final comments before you get out the door?
Yeah, I like I said, I think we're going to know a lot more about what's happening with regard to how this started in Gaza and who the players are going to be. I think that story is yet to be fully discovered or written. I'm extremely worried this could expand. I'll tell you, my number one fear is this, John, because I know Israel would like nothing better than to go after Iran. And if they can expose provocation on Iran on this event in Gaza, maybe that happens. And then Iran is linked to the hip with regard to BRICS supply of oil for gold, and then I worry about it brings in Russia and even possibly China. And will the BRICS nations form an alliance eventually militarily? I mean, it kind of reminds me of World War One, you know, a triple entente, triple alliance. And I hope it doesn't get to that level. But that's my major concern right now. So I ask people, pray for peace, because unfortunately we got crazy people running the world.
Well, in that regard, it's highly likely, and I don't have any facts to back this up, that the BRICS nations' military top people are already attending conferences together. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I think that there's something about this thing, this Palestinian thing, that is aimed at Saudi Arabia to force countries that have been dealing with Israel behind the scenes and by inflaming the Palestinian question, it makes it impossible for Saudi Arabia or Egypt to be, what would we say, cooperative with Israel. And I think that's one of the effects of this. And well, I think it has to do with Saudi Arabia.
The cooperation between Israel and Saudi Arabia is not really a secret. It's public
record. No, it's not a secret. And in fact, this is something that pushes Saudi Arabia further away from Israel, because Saudi Arabia cannot be seen in this juncture as cooperating with Israel. And if it is, then you can have terrorism aimed at the royal family, aimed at the Saudi regime. This mobilizes anti-Saudi sentiment within the Muslim world.
Well, that's not wise to go against the Saudis. Let's get Steve Benoon in here. Good morning, Steve. You're on mute, Steve.
Now we should be able to hear me.
Roger that. We hear you.
Okay, yes. Excuse me. Situation over there, of course, as everybody knows, it is diabolical without the least bit. But one of the things that we had picked up early on, and through people we know in Israel plus intelligence, it's really bad. In fact, this statement here, this come out of the intelligence community when the offensive first began. One of the individuals I know was over here in the U.S. when it all went down. It says, whoever commands that area or made that defensive program should be fired. Could be Intel, Netanyahu's party, set this up or allowed it to justify a war to remove the extremist Hamas to get them out. And that was his comment there. Of course, he's already made it back to Israel since then. And because a lot of his family is involved in the military or in intelligence in one capacity or another, including all the way up to the generals and the meetings like that. So I get a lot of that inside information. The thing that concerned me the most, though, John, about this whole issue was, after living in Israel in two different times in my life, in 2004, later in around 2000. Oh, gosh, I think 10, something like that. I also went through the Intifada. I was in a suicide bombing in Israel. And one of the major things about the Israelis' abilities is responding to an attack on its own civilians. Within minutes of the suicide bombing, I'm talking about minutes. We're talking about 100 IDF soldiers, police, paramedics were on the scene of that suicide bombing. And I remember making a note to that to a couple of friends of mine back in those days. I wasn't doing broadcast at that time. And I said, I have never seen a more rapid response in my life, not to mention Israel's technology, their capabilities. As one intelligence source that I know in the Middle East said, Israel is so embedded in the Hamas faction with their own spies, there is no way Israel could not have known about this attack coming. Now, that's the part that troubles me. When I use the word false flag, it's not that the attack is a false flag. The people died. The people were taken captive. The question came in, though, is how did it happen? How could Israel's most sophisticated intelligence force in the world have such a massive incursion on its border with Gaza and be undetected and practically defenseless. And then I got some information from a former IDF who was part of the brigade that was overrun that sent to me what actually took place, because he lives in that area. He saw everything as it unfolded. And he shared with me how that in the town of Sderot, for example, this for years has always been guarded by Israeli military. But a few months back, they pulled the military out and they replaced it with private security from the community only. That is unprecedented in the history of Israel to do something like this. And then, right before the attack, the Israeli government decides to defund that program, the private security company, and then they went in there, and each one of these little towns like this has its own armory, so that in the event of an attack like this, they have a way to defend themselves. Well, they
hold on, Steve. We got a break. We're in the middle of a break. We'll be right back.
Go ahead, Clay.
Beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Jeff Nyquist's website, jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. Dave Hodges' website, thecommonsandshow.com, thecommonsandshow.tv. Steve Bannoun, his website is israelinewslive.org. Dave, I know you need to scoot out the door here momentarily. Do you want to have a final comment before you leave, sir?
Well, I'm sure glad I got to hear what Steve just said. Stephen just said he really highlighted my main concern about with the technology, how they didn't see it coming. But additionally, John, the changing of the defense protocols is troubling in combination with these things, too. So I'm glad I got to hear that. And thanks for having me on. I wish I could stay the duration, but I got to go do another interview. But I look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Steve, I'm reading that, first of all, Israel in their constitution does not have the equivalent of a Second Amendment. And buying and owning firearms and buying ammunition in Israel is not as easy as it is in the United States, is it, sir?
nowhere near as easy. I mean, you can get one, but it is so much red tape. It's not even funny. So it makes it extremely difficult for Israelis to be able to defend themselves in a situation like this.
Well, and I believe it was yesterday the government of Israel eased up on the restrictions to buy arms and ammunition. Well, the horse is out of the barn, but it's kind of a little bit late to be locking up the barn, isn't it?
Well, that's the big issue that this is all about, John, is that, you know, since Netanyahu has been trying to push this judicial reform through, there's been such a major division in the country that over half the country is against the judicial reform. And secondly, you know, more than 10 months ago, I actually announced it on Israeli News Live in my video I did the other day. I posted that where I said there's coming a false flag in the Middle East that will ignite World War III. And I was told about this, that I was not going to be given specifics. I just was simply told that you will see an event that will be so horrendous that it will take place that will cause Israel to be able to go to war with Iran. And yes, and I want to make sure I make this clear. Iran did arm Hamas, absolutely 100%, no doubt about it. Weapons from Ukraine, though, also came in to Hamas as Zelensky was selling those on the black market. I reported that about 5 months ago,
right,
when they downed the plane or the helicopter that had the Interior Ministry on it, and I was given the intel that they downed it because the Interior Ministry was going to expose Zelensky for the fact that they were selling weapons to the Turkish and to ISIS militants inside of Syria. So all this information I had already put out months in advance. And then, of course, I didn't know what the issue was going to be, but they need a war with Iran. And the only way to galvanize the people of Israel and get them to come back in solidarity again is to have a tragedy of this magnitude happen. And people that don't believe that this type of stuff will happen, John, I mean, listen, go read the book, which is hard to find. They don't want it to be in print, Holocaust Victims Accused. This was written by the rabbis themselves during the Second World War, and how that even the Jewish Congress stated publicly that we need the Jewish blood. This was over the Hungarian Jews, where 800,000 were sent to their slaughter. They could have bought them out for $15 a person. There was an agreement made with the Nazis, but they turned it down, and they sold them out instead to their deaths. But then the Jewish Congress go in and buy some of the elitist Jews that were in Hungary for $1,000 a head instead of $15 a head. And when this came up in the trials in Israel over war crimes and things like that in the Holocaust, that was their argument. We needed Jewish blood in order to be able to have a seat at the table and the repartitioning up of the Middle East after World War II. So, yes, they will sell out our own people just to be able to get their agenda through.
Well, how can a small country like Israel go up against a country with 87 million people in a war? And I could see them bombing some strategic sites, maybe, but warfare of a tiny country against a very large country sounds like a very stupid thing to do to me.
You're right, John, and that's why what they really needed, what Israel needed, and this is why I'm afraid, like I read to you a moment ago, right from Israeli intelligence, what was going on here, they needed something to happen to the Israeli people of such magnitude that would galvanize not just the Israeli citizens, but would galvanize world support, American support, European support to be willing to go to war with Iran. Not just Iran, you'll see they're going to take out Syria as well. They're going to consider that Syria is the hotbed, the strategic launching point. We're going to see Hezbollah is going to invade Israel. That is definitely happening.
We have a break. Hold on. We have.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Anna.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. A new panel there for Arkhaven Ministries, an intentional neighborhood of Christian community in the Ozarks. An intentional neighbor Christian community in the Ozarks. Great place. I spent the weekend there last weekend. Check it out at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Jeff Nyquist's website, jrnyquist.blog, book for sale at Amazon. Steve Bannoun. His website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. Steve, I don't know how Israel could possibly even consider going to war with Iran, because there's two hostile countries in between, Jordan and Iraq, who are not going to grant road travel or airspace, either one, to attack Iran. What do you think, Steve?
Well, that is interesting you bring that up, because Netanyahu met with the Jordanian king 4 or 5 months ago, and I was given information about that meeting. That meeting there was him letting them know that they would be firing missiles over their airspace into Iran. But again, like you said, though, there's no way Israel can do this alone. This is why they're going to have U.S. help to do so. But the Biden administration, and I was given this information probably 8 months ago, will help Israel in a war against Iran. And they will also follow the strategic plan that Trump had laid out initially for that war. So that is something that's already been done. I've also been told, too, that Biden has been, since the conflict began, they don't want to take a chance of him speaking publicly. This is one reason why you don't see him speaking much in the spotlight right now, because they're afraid with his dementia issues there that he's going to babble something off that could cause a problem. So other than his first initial statement, he's been ordered not to give any public speeches as of right now, unless they really have him on a tight leash because of the fear of what's going to take place next. But we are going to see the U.S. This is one reason why we have a strike group already going to that vicinity. We're getting ready. They're going to launch these attacks. And, of course, the fact that Turkey, that's the other thing, too. Turkey is going to turn against the United States in this conflict. I heard this a year ago because I asked about that.
Our NATO ally, Turkey, that one?
Our NATO ally. They will actually turn against us. Now, they will not. From what I understand, they're going to be more of a logistic support for the Arab nations that are coming against Israel, and that's going to be their focal point. But and you got to keep in mind, too, John, part of Talmudic, I say and I clarify, Talmudic prophecy is that 6 million more Jews still have to die. So this is, unfortunately, this is not over by a long shot, and as that death toll grows in Israel, especially once Hezbollah enters into this conflict, which they will, it would take a miraculous event for this to stop at this point, from what I can see. I'm not saying that it couldn't stop, but I don't see it stopping.
You may not know the answer to this, but you may do some homework. The area attacked by Hamas, what's the ethnic breakdown between what I call the real Jews of the Moses bloodline and the fake Jews from South Europe, if we know?
Well, we do know. I don't know as far as percentage-wise, but naturally, the more the south of Israel you go, the more the Sephardic or Arabic Northern Africa-type Jews as you have in those areas there. And that is one thing that I also pay close attention to. Not to say that Ashkenazi Jews were not killed in this as well, but if you really were to break down the numbers, once all this the smoke clears and everything, you're going to probably find that you have a lot of Sephardic Jews in these death tolls as compared to Ashkenazi Jews. Now, naturally, the military is combined of both. However, I know, like when I was in the suicide bombing in 04, a good friend of mine from America that owns Hebrew World, he contacted me because he knew that I was there. And the first question out of his mouth was, do you know the ethnicity of the guards? And I said, that were killed in the blast. I said, yes, they were both Ethiopian guards. He said, figures. He said, that's the way Israel does it. If it's a hotbed spot where it's more dangerous, they're going to put the Jewish people, whether they be African or whether they be Sephardic, they'll put them in harm's way and keep the Ashkenazi out of the harm's way.
Okay. I know it plays a role in it. And I know if you looked into the ongoing internal conflict in Mossad between the Sephardic Jews and the Ashkenazi Jews, I assume that's going on. It's probably accelerated. What do you think?
There's no doubt about that. The only thing that I have noticed, though, even like when I get the report from Mossad about this being a staged event, I'm also getting the, you know, I see how that because of what has happened to the Jewish people there, they're rallying, they're putting aside the differences. I mean, even people I know that were questioning what in the world happened have actually written me. They said, Steve, right now we need to just, we're going to have to put aside these issues here and deal with Hamas and what they did, and then come back to the issue of how it happened, why it happened. And these are people that were already admitting they knew that it had to be that type of situation. John, I'd like to read what the IDF guy said to me real quick.
Go ahead.
This is just a small portion. He says, I say with certainty this was a stand-down order. They do indeed have a very expensive obstacle to prevent this. Sophisticated tracking, surveillance, and remote-operated machine gun emplacements. And even if they were overrun by surprise, which is impossible, the Israeli Air Force has Apache helicopters for this case, and there were none airborne until at least 6 hours later.
6 hours?
6 hours later.
That's crazy. That's wrong.
John, you know, listen, when I lived in Jerusalem, I could go to the Golan an hour and a half by car. I could go to Eilat in 2.5 hours. And you mean to tell me the military can't get down to Sderot, which is about 30 minutes south of Tel Aviv, until 6 to 8 hours later?
That's unacceptable. Yeah.
It's totally unacceptable. Even one guy that was, one made it through. He was on the news being interviewed, shot both legs. He said he was angry, and that guy asked him, the television guy asked him, he said, what are you angry about? He said, where was the IDF? He said, 6 hours I lay dying along with all the other people that were dying, and the IDF couldn't come here to help fight for us. See, Jews know that this is not normal. So
No, it's not. Somebody really dropped the ball with intent, it sounds like, to me.
Let me read one more paragraph. He says here, finally, some time ago, the security for these southern towns was handled by the Gaza division. They posted soldiers at each town checkpoint coming in and out and did patrols. Then there was a government decision to remove the soldiers and replace them with local civil defense people. But the military defunded the programs and also took away the town's weapons armories that were supposed to be distributed to the local civilian defense persons. So the civil defense asked for personally armed volunteers, and we know how easy it is for Jewish Israelis to get a firearm here. To your point you made earlier, John.
That's tragic, causing lots of innocent lives to be lost. Hamas has kidnapped, how many men and women and children? We don't know. Threatening to murder them when certain targets are struck by IDF. It's an absolute nightmare, isn't it?
It is. He also suggests in this report that he sent to me and some of the footage that he saw that it appears to be that there were men of European descent working with Hamas. He said they were blonde-haired. They were wearing a beige COVID mask when they came in. I'm trying to get a hold of some of these images to see if I can see what he's talking about on that. But there again, they are working feverishly to scrub the internet of any type of opposition of these type things that are coming out.
Well, you're describing Caucasians, but other than that, that may or may not mean anything at the moment. We'll know more later.
Right.
Okay. We're not going to, you know. Jeff, you've been pretty patient listening to Steve's report here. What questions do you have for Steve, if you have any, Jeff?
Well, what is the latest on what's happening? Is how are the terrorists who carried this out, how are they faring? Have they been mostly wiped out now? Are they holding out in tunnels? Have they, you know, I understand they've moved hostages to tunnels. I heard one report they moved hostages to Gaza. What's going to happen with that?
There's been a lot of different speculation on over this issue of hostages. There is actually one intel report that suggests that the hostages would you know, that it would give the, not where we know Hamas, it gives them the ability to try to release their own prisoners from Israeli prisons, but that the Netanyahu government also knew, let's just say, we'll say hypothetically at this point, but let's say that this is where it came from, was through Netanyahu's current government, that they had allowed, and I should say allowed. You got to keep in mind, in 2019, Netanyahu actually announced right before the Knesset, if we're going to prevent a Palestinian state with the PLO, we must fund Hamas. 2019, he says that we must fund Hamas. Ron Paul, before the United States Congress, states there back around 2004, he said, you know, look, he said, it's a known fact. Israel created Hamas to counteract the PLO. He said, but eventually it's going to come back to haunt us. He said, because why? We see they're winning in the parliament seats over in Gaza and in the West Bank. He said, so now the very force that we help fund and arm with Israel to overthrow the PLO is going to become a force that's going to cause the death of many Israelis in the future. Times of Israel report stated a few years ago, the 2018, the exact same thing, and predicted that Hamas would massacre Israeli civilians in the near future. Now we're at that door, and of course, they're to what you asked a minute ago, Jeff. The way this was so well carried out, they knew where to take the hostages. They knew the safest places to go, and where to prevent from the hostages being harmed. And I'm sure that they have updated intel reports with Israel to where they are so that they don't bomb those particular areas. So in reality, the only people that are probably mostly dying for this part are going to be the Palestinians that maybe are not, whether they're for Hamas or not is probably indifferent. They're the ones that are paying for the Hamas's crimes right now. But with all this being said, though, the Israeli people are really rallying together because, after all, it is the most heinous crime that has ever happened in Israel's history next to the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago. And at the same time, as they rally together, what we're talking about now will only come up, you know, months, if not years later. This type of information will end up being silenced in the drum beats of war, just like we did with Iraq. Will play out, and we will end up in another war in the Middle East.
Going back to Iran, Steve, the United States spent more than 20 years fighting barefoot, illiterate peasants in Afghanistan and lost. Iran is an educated, technologically developed country. These aren't barefoot, illiterate peasants in Iran. It's 87 million men and women who are educated with technical skills, and Israel thinks they can defeat that when our entire U.S. military couldn't defeat barefoot peasants in Afghanistan for two decades?
Well, you know, that was something when Trump was in, when he was in his last months in office, and they asked if I could get, asked about some things about Iran at that time, and I got a message from the Iranians to give back to America that if they could take out Iran militarily within 48 hours, they would win. But if they do not take out Iran within 48 hours, Iran has already given their most sophisticated weaponry to all of their allies, and that was already verified by our own government, and that they are all instructed that if they lose communication, to launch those weapons on Israel. That included one nuclear device that is sitting still to this day down in Yemen. And of course, the Americans did not know how they got it there. That was a big question. And then I found out that the way they got it there was they took it by land, and the Jordanians allowed it to cross over their land to get it down to Yemen. So that, you know, the people forget, like you said, they're very technologically advanced. Iran does have nuclear weapons. Obama actually gave them the nuclear, not full-blown nuclear bomb, but the tactical nukes. He gave them tactical right. nukes, like bunker busters and things like that. So they're very well armed, and now I hear they actually have the capability of doing a cobalt bomb.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We are our last break coming up here. We're not going to take any more calls. And when we get back, we'll have Jeff give his summary and Steve give his summary for the day and for the week. It's a whole new world since this past Saturday, isn't it, Steve?
It is, John, and I will tell you, it's, we're, by the way, we're going to see come here pretty soon. I think it's going to be more civil unrest. I think with them trying to create this new world order, they want to bring about, as the scripture says, they'll turn their swords into plowshares, and that's going to be a matter of creating the scenarios to disarm the nation.
Hold on, we'll get back to our summaries after the break.
Where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Fix bayonets.
Liam Eden and Nicole Colgren. Many men have gone.
All right, we're back gentlemen. Let's get our summary, starting with you, Jeff, please. Go ahead.
One of the things that troubles me is that I see more and more that the right is formulating its discourse in a leftist way. So, for example, the world's problems are stemming from the rich and the capitalists who are guilty. And this formulation is actually a left formula. It's not a conservative formula. When capitalists are said to be behind communism, I want specifics. And I want to understand why the communists have this strategy of convergence where they think they can unite the left and the right. And Hitler actually did it in Germany. That was his formula. He formulated he relied on conspiracy theory, the Jewish conspiracy theory, to unite the left and the right. So the Nazi Party, ironically, was a party against the center. And it was a party of, you know, it had a red flag, like the communists had. It just had different things on that red flag. So that's my comment.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Go ahead, Steve, your summary, please.
Yeah, the situation that we're facing right now, and we're looking at the Jewish people have been duped like never before, but it's not just the Christian people either. I kind of find it interesting the way Jeff brought out about Nazi Germany and how they were able to pull off what they did. I think the situation plays true even in Christianity here. These events have been planned decades in advance, and I think even the conditioning of doctrinal beliefs in the Christian world, which I used to be very pro-Zionist myself, coming from a Jewish background anyway, and then being pro-Zionist, you know, believing the narrative, and I can understand why so many Christians would believe the narrative that we have to support Israel 100% wholeheartedly. And quite frankly, and in this particular instance here, if we don't, then more Israelis are going to be massacred as a result of what's already been started. But unfortunately, it does come back, as Jeff pointed out, you have this elitist that are controlling these things, and we're just all ending up being pawns in the game, and they control even the way we believe and think by making sure the educational system is set up in such a way to where that's put in there. As my uncle said, who's former FBI, he said communism in the universities now has become so prevalent, and it crept in totally unchallenged, and he was also a college professor.
And you're talking about the United States or Israel or both?
In the United States. Well, okay. Israel, no doubt, as well. You got to remember how many we have. 2 million Russian Jews there that and they're not even really Jewish either. They were brought in to help the country build.
Roger that. Steve, would you consider coming on here and there for a few minutes during the week as this thing progresses?
Yes, I'll be glad to, John.
Okay, thank you. That's it for the day. Thank you, Jeff, also. That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your engine cleaning, essential oils now while you can. Your firearms, ammunition, never, ever get the guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful state of Missouri, the large state of Texas. Lord, please, God bless the states of America.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit
blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.